This is the NC State Tripartisan Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's your host for the NC State Tripartisan Podcast from InsidePacSports.com, James Henderson.
We're going to talk a lot of NC State basketball on today's Tripartisan NC State Podcast, with both NC State's men's and women's team deep in ACC conference play. A lot to talk about. Both teams are riding winning streaks. Both teams are playing well. And we'll begin with the men, who went on the road Tuesday night and were able to get a big, I can't emphasize that enough, a big road win at Syracuse, a team they're competing with right now in the ACC standings to, you know, for a high seed in the upcoming ACC tournament. And NC State was able to go on the road and get that win, 79-74. Interesting game. Facing Syracuse, everyone knows who watches ACC basketball, who's watched Syracuse for almost forever. If you're going to beat Syracuse, you're going to have to be able to score against a 2-3 zone. You're going to have to be able to knock down three-point shots. And NC State had, I thought, maybe their best game of the year shooting the basketball. I don't know if the statistics back that up, but State came in struggling as a team shooting the three, but were able to knock down 11 out of 25 against Syracuse. Which is 44%. I mean, you know, Kevin Keats said after the game that he was hoping his team could hit 8 or 9, and for them to knock down 11, that was big. I mean, I thought that was the biggest key to the game going in. Was NC State going to be able, whoever won the 3-point battle would win this game? I really felt that way, because Syracuse is a team that takes a ton of threes and makes a ton. I mean, they're in the top 50 nationally in terms of 3-point makes and 3-point attempts. And with the zone, you knew NC State was going to have to take some as well. And so I just felt who could win the 3-point battle would win this game. And NC State hit 11 out of 25 for 44%. Like I said, Syracuse was just 3 out of 18, 16.7%, not really good. I mean, NC State made 8 more 3-pointers in this game, so they were plus 24 in 3-point scoring differential. That's the ball game. I mean, that's the ball game. You win a game by 5 and you're plus 24 in 3-point scoring, that's the ball game. I thought State did a very good job of moving the basketball against around the perimeter against Syracuse's zone, trying to attack gaps, got some dribble drive kickouts, got the ball to the high post some, kicked out for some threes, really knocked them down in a variety of ways. And I thought overall they were efficient offensively. The one concern I had was the 19 turnovers State had in that game. And a lot of them were unforced. It felt like State tried to get the ball to the high post, to the free throw line, too much, and at times they were not patient enough while trying to get the ball there. It felt like, you know, they were trying to force the ball there, really not moving it side to side, getting the ball moving. I mean, against the zone, you want to get the ball popping and then hit the gap. You don't want to stare down the free throw line and try to force it in, because, I mean, Syracuse is long, athletic. I mean, they know where you're trying to get the ball, so they're going to try and take that away. And so I thought State wasn't patient enough at times and really forced the ball into the paint. And by doing that, it led to 19 turnovers. But one of the good things for State was I thought they were able to get back on defense and prevent those turnovers to really come back to bite them. Because if you look at the numbers, another area of focus I thought for NC State was going to be points off turnovers and fast break points. Well, NC State had 19 turnovers in the game. Syracuse only scored 12 points off those 19 turnovers. Syracuse had 15 turnovers, and NC State scored 23 points off of those turnovers. So State was plus 11 in points off turnovers, and State also had 21 fast break points to just 13 for Syracuse. So they were plus 8 in fast break points. Now, those are key stats against Syracuse. The less you have to work against their zone, the better. And so NC State being able to get transition points, NC State being able to get out in transition and running, NC State being able to get points off turnovers, those were very, very important to the Wolfpack in this win. And I mean, just different ways of how you score. I mean, we've had games this year where NC State would score 8 points at the free throw line and 6 points in transition. When you do that, it just puts so much pressure on your half-court offense. And that really benefited NC State in the long run, because they were able to bank points in other areas, and they still scored 40 half-court points, but they didn't have to score 60. And there's been times this year where State's had to score 55, 60 half-court points. just to win a basketball game. So the ability to get the other points is what I like to call it, I thought was big in this game for NC State. Also, you look at just go back to how they actually did attack the zone. I thought State did a really good job of working inside out. They didn't just settle. They got the ball into the paint consistently for kickouts, for lobs, for mid-range jump shots. Really effective half-court offense. A big reason why State was able to shoot 52% in this game, which again is one of their higher marks on the season. Now, some areas of concern I mentioned already. The turnovers, another one. I was surprised that State had problems keeping Joe Girard out of the lane. You know, Joe Girard's a freshman guard for Syracuse, not really known as a driver, paint scorer, guy that can get to the free throw line, but when he does, he's deadly. He shoots 92% from the free throw line. State couldn't stay in front of him all game, and I think that's a concern. I thought State got thrown kind of a good little, I don't know how you want to term it. I think State got a little bit of luck when Elijah Hughes, Syracuse's leading scorer, he only played 3 minutes this game, went out with a groin injury, was scoreless. He came in averaging 19 points per game. That really took a lot of pressure off of NC State's defense because Syracuse is one of the more like player-dominant offenses in the ACC. I mean, they've got three, maybe four guys, if you count Dolezal, that they really rely on for scoring. Buddy Boeheim, Joe Girard, Elijah Hughes, they do the majority of the scoring for Syracuse. So taking Hughes out was huge. And it left State, and it really allowed State to kind of rotate different bodies at Girard, rotate different bodies at Boeheim, and kind of wear them down. Boeheim struggled shooting from the field. Girard was okay, but he was just 1 of 10 from three. I mean, where he hurt NC State, he shot 12 free throws. He was 11 of 12 at the free throw line, and I thought that was a concern. I mean, State just couldn't stay in front of him. He got in the paint, hit some floaters, hit some layups, fouled him. And, you know, I thought late in the game that the key was Devin Daniels, and that's another player I want to talk about. You know, you go back through this game. I mean, I think with about 6 or 7 minutes left to go, State was down 6 and felt like they were in trouble. And Devin Daniels went on a personal 7-0 scoring run to give NC State a 1-point lead. And then he also down the stretch defended Joe Girard really, really well and enabled State to get that win. I mean, for the second straight game, NC State was able to hold a team to just one field goal in the last 6 minutes. First time they did it was obviously at Miami last week. And then they went against Syracuse. I mean, they held Syracuse just one field goal the last 6:20 of this game. And that kind of allowed them to get this win, in my opinion. I mean, you go back and look at the numbers. I mean, it was just a deal where State was really more effective down the stretch in both of those games. I mean, when you're in these types of games, especially trying to win games on the road, home teams are going to make pushes. They're going to come at you and put pressure on you and force you to win a game. And if you go back to Miami, over the final 7 minutes and 12 seconds of the second half, NC State held Miami to 1 made field goal and 8 total points while they scored 16. So State was plus 8 the last 7-12 of the Miami game. And then against Syracuse, final 6-16 of the second half, they held Syracuse to 1 made field goal, just 6 total points, while State scored 17 points over that stretch. So State was plus 11 the final 6-16 of the second half. So that's how you win. I mean, you go on the road, you find a way to get it done. I thought if I had to pick a player of the game for NC State against Syracuse, I've already mentioned him, I thought it was Devin Daniels. You know, he was really good, really efficient, two-way player. I mean, he's developing into, in my opinion, one of the better perimeter guard defending guards in the ACC. State consistently gives him the task of guarding the opponent's best offensive player, or really – what I think State really likes to do in the second half is they put him on their hottest offensive player. So it may be someone that they start him out on differently. It's whoever's playing well. In this game, it was Girard. And I thought he was probably going to be tasked with guarding Hughes for most of this game if Hughes would have played. But with Hughes out, they were able to slide him on Girard. He played really good defense. He was 8 of 15 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, scored 23 points, which led NC State. The only really, I think, kind of flaw in Devin Daniels' game, last minute, I think he missed 4 free throws, which could have really extended this game out. He had a chance to kind of bust the game open by just hitting some free throws. Wasn't able to do that, but you look at his effort stats, 2 blocks, 3 steals. I mean, doesn't get much better than that. I mean, he was a really impactful player, and I'd say for me, he was the key to the game for NC State. So big win for State. I mean, big week, you know, being able to get that win against Miami, followed up with a win against Syracuse. You know, we talked about that stretch coming in, how NC State was going to have 3 straight road games. Which were pretty much must-win situations for State, 2-0. And now they're going to go on the road and face Boston College. and you look at the standings right now, you've got Louisville at 12-1 in ACC play, first Duke 11-2, Florida State 10-3. You got Virginia 8-5, and then you've got NC State 7-6, tied with Syracuse. And the thing that's interesting is if you look at this stretch right here of these, I'd say 4, 5, 6 teams competing for that fourth spot. Virginia's in fourth right now. They're up a game, but you got to remember NC State won at Virginia. So they have a tiebreaker over Virginia. They've already beat Syracuse. They've got a tiebreaker over Syracuse. They've already beat Notre Dame. They've got a tiebreaker over Notre Dame. Boston College is 6-7. NC State plays at Boston College this week. If they can get that win on Sunday night, State will have a tiebreaker over Boston College. Then you got Pittsburgh, who State hasn't played yet at 6-7, but they host Pittsburgh in PNC Arena later this year. So this could be a deal where it's setting up where all these teams, these 5, 6 teams in this spot kind of competing for that number four spot, State's got a tiebreaker over almost all of them. So ACC tournament time comes, that's going to be something to watch. If State can get on that level with Virginia, it's going to put NC State in a position where they can maybe get that number four seed and get that double bye. That's really what you want for the ACC tournament. You want to get that four seed, try and get that double bye. Long ways away from that, though. State's got several games left on the schedule. Next up is going to be Boston College. I think that's going to be a big test for NC State. BC is going to play Miami this week. As I take this, that game has not yet been played. BC will be playing at Miami. I mean, it's going to be a big game for NC State. I can't say that enough. I mean, Boston College is a team that last year State wasn't able to beat them. But this year, State's going to have to go on the road and get it done. You know, I mean, when you follow it up the following week, I mean, State's got two home games against Florida State and Duke. So this BC game's huge. I mean, it's huge. You can't say enough how important it is to win these road games and to bank these wins that you should get. I mean, State's good because if you're really realistic, State's going to look back on this season and probably think, what if? You know, you played Virginia Tech without C.J. Bryce on the road. You lost that game. You played Georgia Tech twice without two of your main rotation players. You didn't have Funderburk or Markel Johnson to start the year. The second game, you didn't have Manny Bates and Pat Andre, lost both of those games. So, you know, at Clemson, playing that game without C.J. Bryce. I mean, there's a lot of games you can look back on and say State probably could have won them at full strength, but they didn't. And now it's just a matter of trying to bank wins. And so getting this win against Boston College would be big. BC's 12-12 overall. You know, playing better lately. They've won 2 out of 3, both on the road. Went and won at UNC. Came home, lost to Duke only by 8, and then they won at Virginia Tech by 4. So they've been playing better. You know, Derek Thornton leads the team in scoring, a Duke transfer, leads the team in assists. You know, I think one of the guys that I really like for Boston College is Stephon Mitchell. Very good defender, very good rebounder. He's averaging almost 9 rebounds per game. You know, they've got multiple weapons, multiple guys who can score. Both Hamilton brothers are playing better for them right now. You know, Jay Heath is a good young guard for them that's scoring the ball well. So it's not going to be easy for NC State, but I think this is a very winnable game if State goes up to Boston College and plays well. So that's going to be something that we're going to have to watch and just see, can NC State get it done at Boston College? Because like I said, I mean, once you get that game out the way, if you can win that one and get to 8-6, State can then turn around and kind of say, hey, you know, we've got these home games against Duke and Florida State. We need to win them. But we can kind of swing for the fences in these games and really take our shot and try and just get them as best as you can. And I think, you know, I think State's going to have a chance. I mean, I think getting to play Duke at home, you know, with a 3-game lead, I mean, I think that's going to be something that is going to be very, you know, from a confidence standpoint, it's going to give State a chance because State's played Duke well in recent years at home. They should be confident. And so I just think, you know, next week's huge, but we're not there yet if you're NC State. And what's up next is this Sunday night game against Boston College. Get that one. Get to 8-6 in conference play. Give yourself a chance to really solidify your NCAA tournament chances with the big week the following week. Next, we're going to have a little bit of info on one of my favorite podcasts, Kane's Corner. So stay tuned. All right, let's talk a little NC State women's basketball. Big game. You know, I've been going back and forth on how big of a game this is, not just for NC State's women's basketball program, but NC State in general. that we've had over the last 5-6 years, because, you know, one of the stats out there that a lot of people know, NC State hasn't won an ACC title in men's basketball, women's basketball, football, or baseball since the early 90s. It's one of the craziest stats you'll ever see. I mean, they've had multiple chances, made multiple ACC baseball tournament title games, made multiple men's basketball tournament title games, had a chance a couple years ago against Clemson in football. If they win that game at home, you know, they would have had a chance to really put themselves in a position to earn a share of the Atlantic Division title. And this game here, though, is big. This game for NC State's women's basketball program is big. NC State is currently a game up on Louisville in the standings, host Louisville Thursday night at 8 p.m. in a game that, if State wins it, they'll essentially have a 3-game lead on Louisville, given they'd have the tiebreaker. But if they lose it, you know, it puts Louisville right back in control of their own destiny, tied with NC State. Both teams will have 2 conference losses, so State could still technically earn a share of the ACC title by winning out. And trust me, NC State fans count it. You know, you don't want to look ahead to that, but if you get a share, it counts. So State still could technically earn a share, but Louisville will be back in control of that number one seed if they're able to come to Raleigh and Reynolds Coliseum and win that game. And I just think it's a big, big test for NC State. I think it's a game that NC State, who is now ranked number 4 in the country, I've seen some early brackets have them as a number 1 seed. I mean, this game's huge. Huge. I mean, you win this game, you solidify all that stuff. And you put State in a position where they can almost cruise to an ACC regular season title and the number 1 seed, the ACC tournament. But this game won't be easy. I mean, Louisville is a very talented team, struggling a little bit right now. They've lost 2 games in a row, lost at home to Florida State last week. Over the weekend, they went up to Syracuse and lost. But they're dangerous. And you know they know how important this game is for them as well, just like it is for NC State. I mean, this is Louisville's season, essentially. They know if they lose this game, they're basically out of it from the ACC tournament. It'll take a collapse by NC State over the last 5 or 6 games for Louisville to get back into that number 1 seed and to win the conference. So, you know, if you're State, first thing you got to do is you got to be able to handle the magnitude of this game. I mean, it's a big game. I mean, like I said, I mean, I think the Clemson game 2017 in football is probably the biggest one in recent memory that compares to this from a regular season standpoint. Obviously, if you make an ACC title game in basketball or baseball, that's bigger. But I'm saying from a regular season standpoint, I compare it to that Clemson game, because if you remember, if NC State would have won that Clemson game in 2017, they would have essentially had a 2-game lead on Clemson and really controlled their own destiny in terms of winning the ACC. But they weren't able to do that, and they went 6-2. Clemson finished 7-1, and State was not able to win a share of the Atlantic Division title. This game is on that level for me, and State is playing well right now. You know, they stumbled at North Carolina a few weeks back, but they've won 9 straight games since then. Just dominating teams. You know, really have only had, I think, 1 close game up to that point, the game at Duke, which I went to, took my family to watch. Very, very exciting game. State was able to grind it out down the stretch. But the last time State was in a situation like this, playing a top 10 team at home, earlier in January, they hosted Florida State, who came in top 10 in the country. State won that game 68-51. They'd love to have a duplicate performance of that, but Louisville's going to be a tougher test, in my opinion. Louisville is explosive offensively. They pressure defensively, which is a concern for me for State. I think the team that's going to beat NC State this year, whether it's in ACC play, whether it's in the ACC tournament, whether it's in the NCAA tournament, is going to be a team that can pressure them. They struggle handling pressure. State really doesn't play what I'd call a true point guard, you know, the majority of the minutes. I think Kai Crutchfield and Ace Koenig are more combo guards than true point guards. They do bring Kayla Ely off the bench, but she's still coming back from a knee injury. She's not fully there yet. She's not playing a ton of minutes. So teams that full court pressure NC State can cause some problems for them. We saw it earlier in the year when Maryland, a team very similar to Louisville, came to Reynolds and they turned State over a lot. State was able to win that game, but they still turned the ball over. At Duke, when I was at that game, State really struggled handling the pressure. Now, they were on the road in a different environment than they're going to be in Reynolds, so that's something to watch as well. Being at home should help State. But turnovers is a big concern. Wes Moore talked about it this week, how he was concerned with NC State being able to handle the pressure. Can they do that? I think the other key to this game is which star is going to start. And if you look at NC State and you look at Louisville, both of them have, in my opinion, arguably the top guard and the top post player in the conference. Louisville's guard, Dana Evans, one of the top scoring leaders in the ACC, leads the ACC in three-point percentage, shooting at almost 42% from three. She's dangerous. She's a player NC State's going to have to key on. They're going to have to try and slow her down. Leads Louisville in scoring. And then, obviously, for NC State, you've got the 6'5" sophomore, Alyssa Cunane, leads the conference in double-doubles. She's averaging a double-double, 17 points, 10 rebounds per game. One of the best post players in the country. That's going to be a focus for NC State. That's going to be the focus for Louisville's defense. Can they slow down Alyssa Cunane? So I think this game might come down to turnovers and which one of those two teams' stars steps up and is able to elevate their team to a big win. You know, NC State can't sleep on Louisville. This isn't, you know, just because Louisville's lost a couple in a row doesn't mean they're you know, this is a game NC State's going to win. I mean, State's a favorite, but they still got to take care of business. And I think it's going to come down to, can they handle the pressure twofold? Can they handle the pressure of being now the hunted? And also, can they handle the pressure that Louisville's going to throw at them with their full court pressures and different things like that? So it's going to be something interesting to watch. I'm going to predict NC State wins this game. I really believe Wes Moore he's one of the top three, four, five coaches in the country. And that number might be low, you know, in terms of just purely coaching the game of basketball. What he's done at NC State is remarkable. He's got State now in a position to where they're recruiting at a very, very high level. They have back-to-back Sweet 16 appearances, which we talked about. They're now on the cusp of maybe winning their first ACC title in years in really any of these major sports. And he's got State there. And I think they find a way to get it done. NC State's well-coached. Louisville's well-coached. And it's going to be a close game. But I think NC State at home finds a way to get it done. So, look, we talked a lot of basketball this week. A lot going on right now at NC State. You know, you're in the heart of the ACC play for men's basketball and women's basketball. I'm going to have my column up this week at the Tripartisan. You can find it at WRLSportsFan.com. You can find it on my website, InsidePackSports.com. Haven't decided the topic yet. You know, that column will probably be up Friday morning. So I may wait. I've been debating waiting and doing it on women's basketball. Maybe just kind of seeing what the outcome of that game is going to be. So, you know, maybe just because of the turnaround, I may not be able to do that topic just so I can get it turned around in time. But that's what I've been leaning towards writing about. If not, I'm going to probably talk about how NC State, the men's basketball season, kind of continues to ebb and flow. And just as soon as you think you can count NC State out, they pick up a big win. And just as soon as you think NC State's on a high, they suffer a loss. So what's going to happen next now that they're at Boston College? So a lot I can write about. Haven't really finalize that topic, but when I do, it'll be posted at WRLSportsFan.com under the Tripartisan tab, and you can also find it on my website, InsidePackSports.com, which it should be out Friday morning, Friday early afternoon. So for this edition of the Tripartisan NC State Podcast, my name is James Henderson. Make sure you join me again next time.
You've been listening to the NC State Tripartisan Podcast with host from InsidePackSports.com, James Henderson. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. Thanks again for listening to the NC State Tripartisan Podcast.